Well, I have been looking forward to this, and I appreciate Brother Aaron being willing to come and preach to us tonight. And I find myself in an odd time of life. I'm kind of in the middle, and I look forward and watch some of the men that have been my heroes through the years, and they're getting aged, and the preachers. And I think with every preacher, there's always a bit of a concern that coming up behind you is some men that are training to preach. I mean, it's important, absolutely essential, if we're going to keep this whole thing going, that we have young men that are willing to listen to God's call and to surrender to God's call. And Brother Aaron has been up at the Bible College for 3 years. He's taken it very seriously. He's single-minded in his preparation. This isn't something he's going to see about or try out. This is something he has a determination to do. And he's going into his senior year. Be graduating, Lord willing, next May. And then maybe praying about staying for his master's degree. What's I saying? I don't know how that slipped out. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean that to... I don't know where that came from. What in the world? So, folks, we all have a prayer request, don't we? That we know we need to pray about. And I know God has just the right young lady picked out. And I just pray that one of them finally have enough courage to ask Aaron out. And just trying to loosen you up a little bit here. It's exciting to watch. I was watching Ashley sing, and the craziest things you think of. But I kept thinking of when I came here. She was a little kindergarten, a little redheaded kindergarten. She was. And just about the same. She was the same back then. Same about 90% hair and teeth. Isn't that the truth? When she was a little kindergarten, it was all teeth and hair, and pretty much the same. So, but there is a joy in just being one place for a length of time and watching these kids grow up. And Brother Aaron, I've been praying for you, and I know God's going to use you tonight. Come preach to us.
Well, I'm glad he started joking around a little bit. Man, he's all serious. He's like, man, I guess I can't say anything funny up here. So. I got to be honest, man, I'm nervous. I was sitting up there, I was like, man, I'll see if I can jump out that door before they notice. But and then I looked in the bulletin and saw finger food, so I said, nah, forget that, I'm going to stay. Y'all laugh, man. Y'all should eat it. You should eat up there sometimes for a while, and you would understand. But I really do appreciate the privilege to preach here tonight. Man, it's a big privilege. It's a big honor. This pulpit means a lot, and this church means a lot to me. Your encouragement, your prayers, the letters you send, just everything you guys do, man, it means a lot. I know there's sometimes when you get up there and sometimes, you know, it's like nobody up there really knows you quite like everybody does here. So, like, you don't feel like you're handling it all by yourself sometimes. But this church, man, it really encourages me when you see me, your prayer letters and just everything. Real quick, tonight, well, before I get started, you know, today Pastor Jerry was preaching on Sunday morning and he was preaching about, you know, Bible college students, how, you know, you're going to go through your ups and downs. I just want to let you know, it's not really like a mountaintop, it's more like a pyramid. You're going to go up, and you think you're up there for like a second, and before you know it, you're falling down to the side. So just so you know, like, you think you're there for like 10 seconds, and then before you know it, you're like, that was it? It's kind of like, it's kind of what it is. I mean, I was telling my parents, I was like, I started thinking, I'm like, yeah, about the mountaintops. I'm like, the last 4 big days, I started thinking about the big days in our bus ministry up there, and a year and a half ago, I had a big day. I just had a section. I was on a bus route. And, you know, I was like, man, you know, I was praying. I was hoping to have 70 off my section, man. I was praying. I was working hard, trying to visit. And hit the big day and air loaded up the bus and everything. And I hit my goal, hit 70. I was like, yes, you know, mountaintop. And then, like I said, just a pyramid. It's like 4 hours later, I lost a bus kid. No joke. We were at this, like, we were like at this Chuck E. Cheese place. And it's like, had like a little playground area. I lost him. I don't know where. Like, we didn't find him until like 10:30 at night at a police station. I mean, you want to talk about, like, you're so happy, and then it's like, you go talk to that mother, and it's just like, okay, And then the next big day, Ben was up there with me, and we were on a route. And you know, I'm a bus captain now, and just got moved to a new route, a smaller route. And bus director's like, I want you to have 58 off your route. And I'm like, oh, we're gonna have 70. So you know, we work, and we visited hard and everything, prayed. Boy, we hit our goal. We hit 70. Yes. You know, I'm like, this is good. Next, a couple hours later, I lost another bus kid. So I had an aunt come for the first time with two nieces and her nephew, and I lost her niece somehow. So it's a lot of. So no, it's great though. Yeah, I mean it really is. I mean, and just if anything I could say about Bible College, man, is get involved. You know, change people's lives when you're there. I mean, I am so happy that I didn't just go up there and just waste my time and just, you know, focus on just me and get involved and, like, change somebody's life while you're there. Do something for somebody. Just real quick, we're going to turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. We start in verses 13 through 19. Job, chapter 1, verse 13 through 19. It says, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And I forgot to turn on the mic. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away, yea, and they had slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And then while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the earth, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And then also, we're going to look at chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. It said, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job was having the ultimate bad day. I mean, like, you know, you might go through like one of these things. You know, I mean, maybe financial loss. He lost some of his herd. He lost some of his things. You might go through one of these things, like, you know, maybe once in like 5 years. You might lose a loved one, you know, something like that. This happened to him like all one day. And Job went through financial loss. He lost his sons. He lost his daughters. And Satan struck him with boils. He went from his head down to his feet with boils. And he's laying there in a pot of in ashes, scraping himself with pottery. And his wife, his encourager, this person that, you know, that's supposed to be for him all the time, looks at him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, he had the ultimate bad day. And you know, what I want to talk about tonight, it's not really, you know, I want to talk about why Job was great. Why Job was great. I'm going to have you turn to one more portion of Scripture, Job chapter 27, verse 6. Job chapter 27, verse 6. Job wasn't just great just because he went through all the trials. See, everybody doesn't go through the trials. Everybody's going to have problems. Everybody's going to have heartaches. Everybody's going to go through them. But what made Job great, what made him the great servant of God that he was, is Job chapter 27, verse 6. It says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I'm going to look at that first half of that verse and like, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. Oftentimes, the life of the Apostle Paul is summed up with one verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. What made Paul, what made Job so great, was that towards the end of their life, Job could say, I hold fast my righteousness and I don't let it go. And what made Paul so great is that he could keep the faith. And what I want to talk tonight about is that, well, I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is one of the greatest churches in all the world. And because of that, there's some things that you're going to have to hold fast for this church to remain great. There's some things that, as the older generation is here, is that you're going to have to continue to hold fast. There's some things, as the younger couples are here, you're going to have to hold fast and not let them go over the next couple generations. And there's things that the teenagers here are going to have to grab a hold for themselves and decide that they're not just my pastors, not just my teachers, but they're mine, and I'm going to hold them. And what I want to talk tonight about is some four important things that you have to hold fast. The first thing that we have to hold fast in order for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to remain great is the gospel, the doctrine of salvation. You see, the minute that we ever add anything to salvation, the minute we ever feel like we have to earn salvation or we have to add works to it, or we bring any other doctrine into this church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church will cease to be a great church. You see, it's all built upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock that this church is formed on. So if we ever take out and we ever feel like we can replace what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary, we lose the greatness of this church. If we ever feel like it could be under any other name, if we ever feel like as the world pushes more and more towards all under Christianity, as we know, well, we're not all under Christianity. I'm not the same kind of a Christian as a Catholic is. I'm not the same kind of Christian as a person who believes that you can get to heaven through works. I'm not that same kind of. I'm a true Christian. I believe that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And as we have to understand that it can come under no other name but Jesus. If we ever lose that, we lose the greatness of our church. You see, it was Jesus who came down as God-man and was born of a virgin, and he was here, and he lived a perfect life on heaven, and he was taken and bound, and he was stripped down naked and beaten and whipped with a cat of nine tails. It was Jesus who was hung to the cross, who was humiliated, who was spit upon. It was Jesus who not just died on that cross, but also cried out for his Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But it was Jesus who also 3 days later rose again from the grave, and he took victory for us over death. It was Jesus. It's all Jesus. And if we ever decide, if we ever feel like that salvation could come from any other place, we'll lose our greatness we'll lose the greatness of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Also, we have to understand that it's at the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow one day. You see, you can bring in whatever you want to. You can bring whatever whatever you think will bring in maybe more numbers into the church. You can do whatever you want to change salvation, but towards the end, every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, nobody else. It's all Jesus. And we have to hold fast to the true gospel of the Bible. We have to hold fast to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again someday. He told us that. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He goes, and he told us that he's going to prepare that place for us. And if he's going to prepare a place for us, he's going to come again. He's going to receive us unto himself. We have to realize that as a church, to remain a great church, we have to hold fast to the gospel, the true gospel, the doctrines of salvation, the doctrines of the Bible. If we ever lose that, if we ever as a membership or in the hearts of our members ever feel like there's any other way, we lose our greatness as a church. Not only that, we must hold fast to the King James Bible. As you go throughout, I'm sure you go to Bible bookstores and any just basic stores where you can find books, you'll find more and more that the King James Bible is being pushed to the side with the New Standard Version, the NIV, and just any other version of the Bible. But I hope you understand that for us to remain a great church, we have to hold true to the holy and the perfect Word of God. If we ever decide that there's other versions, there's other Bibles, and that we can take away from the Word of God, we're going to lose our greatness as a church. We can't trade in our perfect God, perfect Word and the perfect Bible for a watered down version to try to appease the crowds and the community. We have to hold true to the King James Bible. Amen. If we ever lose our position on the King James Bible as a church, we'll lose our greatness. Not only that, but we must hold fast to our standards and separation to remain great. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Also in Romans, real quick, Romans chapter 8 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We have to hold fast to our separation and our standards. Amen. The Bible says that we have not received the spirit of the world, but received the spirit of God. And he says here that he said, don't you realize that before you were saved, before you were in sin, as you were living your life, literally you were in bondage. He said that sin had you wrapped up, but when you became saved, you come to the realization that you're a sinner and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said all of a sudden you took off the bondage and you became a spirit of adoption. You became a child of God. And he says that we have not received that same spirit of bondage again. He says, but we received the spirit of adoption. See, we can't live like everybody else can live in the world. We have to make a difference. We have to be a difference. We have to show everybody there's a difference between how the Christian lives and how the world lives. we have to hold fast to our standards. If we ever decide that in Blessed Hope Baptist Church that it's okay to trade in our hymns of the faith and put up the drum sets and put up the guitars and bring in the bands to perform, we have to realize that we'll lose our greatness as a church. If we ever decide that it's okay to take away the preaching and take away the Bible and put up a performance and put on a drama instead of a service, then we will lose the greatness of First Baptist Church.
Amen.
If we ever lose our dress standards, I said First Baptist. you don't know where you're at half the time you're in Bible college, I'm telling you. You just try to survive and you don't know where you're at half the time. I seriously wonder sometimes if I'm even conscious half the time. No, but seriously, now you have to realize though that we have to hold fast to our standards. You see, if Blessed Hope Baptist Church ever loses your dress standards, and it's not a place where women dress like women and men dress like men, and there's a difference, we live what the Bible says to do, then we're going to lose our greatness as a church. As the world pushes more and more into this gender neutrality phase, and you see more and more that the women are stepping into pulpits, and ladies are becoming deacons, and the queers and the sodomites are stepping into the pulpits of America. We're going to lose our greatness if ever in our church, if the members start to feel that inside their heart that that's okay. If you ever start believing the lie that the world's trying to tell you that it's okay, that there's no difference, it's okay if the women step into the pulpit, it's okay if the queers step into the pulpit, they're humans just like us, why can't they get something out of the Bible? They could get up and preach the Bible. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. Understand that we have to hold fast to our standards that set us apart. We have to hold fast to our standards. If we ever lose our standards as a church, we're going to lose the greatness of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But not only that, we have to hold fast to our standards of soul winning. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save. If Jesus came to seek and to save, I believe that he would have us carry out the same mission.
Amen.
And to seek and to save the lost. You see, I believe that if the people of this church no longer has a concern for the lost, then God will no longer have a purpose for this church.
Yeah.
If we ever get to the point where we feel like it's okay to shut down the buses, it's awesome, and you guys are buying new buses, and it's going to be used in a great and mighty, wonderful way, I'm sure, to bring lost people to the Lord. But, if we ever get to the point where we feel like as a church it's okay to stop going soul winning, it's okay to get rid of the buses and start bringing in the lost and start reaching out to the community, then we're going to lose our greatness as a church.
Right.
We have to hold fast to our standards of soul winning. The Bible tells us in Matthew, it says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel." Just three questions I want to ask you. You want to know if you're doing a good job of soul winning, performing the Great Commission. The Bible says that we are to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I just ask you a couple questions to keep in your own heart. One, when's the last time you witnessed to somebody? Honestly, ask yourself in your heart, when's the last time you opened a Bible and you showed them how to go to heaven? Outside of somebody asking you to come up here and do it at the altar. When's the last time you did that? Ask yourself. Number two, when's the last time that you actually had somebody saved and had a convert down the aisle? When's the last time? Number three, when's the last time you had somebody baptized? The Bible says we're here to seek. The Bible says that we're here to go out and to reach the world. And if we're not reaching the world, then we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. If we ever feel like we can stop doing the Great Commission and stop going after the lost, then we're going to lose the greatness of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You see, the greatness of this church is, as you look throughout the congregation, you see people who were reached by this church. It was people that were reached, by the bus ministry. It was people that were reached, by door-to-door. It was people that were reached by a track. It was people that were reached by a handout. It was people that were reached by your testimony. This church is gonna lose its greatness if you don't go out and you don't have a concern for the lost. As I think about, I go up to Hiles and I go to school with Caleb, and I think about Caleb all the time, man. He's an encouragement to me because, if you ever feel like you question sometimes what you're doing as far as going out and trying to reach the lost, then I look at Caleb and I realize that's exactly why you should go out and reach the lost. You should go out and run the buses. As I think about Caleb, who came, from the buses, and he's going on serving God with his life, and I think about a faithful man of God who went to him and got him on the bus and got him to church, and now him, Paul, are all out there serving God. And that's what we should be doing as a church. If we ever lose that, we're going to lose the greatness of our church. So I guess what I'm saying tonight is, for one, I want to ask just the older generation to keep holding fast to what you've been holding on to. Hold fast to what you've been holding on to. As I look throughout the crowd, man, I see so many great men of God. And as I was soul winning yesterday, I saw them here yesterday, and they were giving their time and going out and knocking doors. Keep holding fast to what you've held on to for all these years. You're an encouragement to me. You're encouragement to the younger Christians. If I ever feel like I'm getting down on my bus route or anything like that, I always think about Brother Bo. Because I think about all the stuff that Brother Bo goes through, and I feel like I think about his health. But I know that, you know, nowhere else would you rather be on Sunday than be on that bus. And if I ever feel like sometimes I'm getting down or anything like that, then I always think about, man, you know, if Brother Bo has such a love, I said, you know, I should have the same kind of love for my people. And, I, you know, if you ever, if the older generation has asked you to keep holding on, keep holding fast to what you've been holding on to for all these years, because you are what made this church great. The older generation that's here, you're the ones that has made this church great. You've held fast for new years now. And I guess the secondly is, like I said, the younger couples of this church, I ask you just to grab a hold of it, but don't let it go. As you're going to be the older generation in the future, I ask you just not to let anything slide, let nothing go. As a freshman in college, I made a decision at in a chapel service. I had a guy there preaching about America, and I told God that no matter what kind of, I guess, as I thought about it, a rope of influence I have on America and my future ministry, I told God that I would dig my heels in and that I would pull as hard as I can on that rope of influence to try to bring America back to God. Now, I ask the younger couples to please do the same thing with this church. Grab a hold of the standards. Grab a hold of the soul winning. Grab a hold of the gospel. Grab a hold of the doctrines. Grab a hold of the King James Bible, and you hold fast to it, and you don't let it go. When other churches change, when other churches change position, as America pushes more and more towards liberal thoughts and beliefs, I ask the younger couples, please hold fast. Hold fast for this church to remain great. And then to the teenagers, I want to ask you to take hold of these things for yourself. You know, teenagers, the difference, as I go through Bible college, and you think about the people you graduate with, you watch the path that people go down and the life choices that they make. And I watch the bus kids sometimes on my buses, and I watch the path and the choices they make and the other college students up there and the choices they make. You know, the difference between the teenager who goes on to serve God with his life and the difference between a teenager who goes out and lives a worldly life and who both kind of grew up in the same kind of area, it's not really the fact of whether you came from a bad background, so that's why you don't turn out, or you didn't have all the advantages, because, you know, you have the King James Bible and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, so there's really no excuse. But the difference is between one of them who will grab a hold of what they've learned, who will grab a hold of the truth that they've learned while they're in school, who grabs a hold of the standards that they learned. You see, there has to come a day, teenager, when what you learn and what you taught in school and the things that are all around you, the soul winning, the standards, the dress standards, you see, all that has to come to a point when it's not just my parents' standards, it's not my pastor's standards, it's nobody else's standards, but it's my standards. See, Job says, my righteousness, I hold fast, and I'm not letting it go. And you have to make a choice in your life. You have to say, Lord, I don't believe that this is just the church's standards. These are my standards. These are my choices. And Lord, I'm holding fast my righteousness, and I ain't letting it go.
Amen.
You see, teenager, that's going to be the difference. It's not whether maybe you grow up in a different background or a different home, or maybe, you know, somebody didn't invest in you as much as you think they should have. It's whether you decide to make things around here that is right here in front of your face and grab a hold of them and make them your own.
Amen.
You know, and you'll see it. You'll be able to tell who does it or not. When you watch the teenagers walk go through Blessed Hope Baptist School, and you watch, you know, for 5 years they go soul winning, 7th grade to 12th grade they go soul winning. They get out of high school. Do they still go soul winning?
Right.
I'll tell you what it is. What it was is that they watched the soul winning. They were around the soul winning. They're taught how to soul win. But when they get out of school, you know what they didn't do? They didn't grab a hold of the soul winning. They didn't grab a hold of it.
Right.
And that's why you don't see them go out. That's why you don't see them at soul winning anymore. That's why they haven't won a soul to the Lord since they were in 10th grade in high school. And now they're 25 years old or 27 years old or, you know, 21 years old. That's why. Because they didn't grab a hold of what was around them. They didn't make it their own. They let it be the church's standard. They let it be the Sunday school teacher's standard. They let it be the pastor's standard. But they didn't make it their own. That's the difference. as you go through teenager, as you go through high school, I ask you to be a positive influence. I'll tell you a story about a teenager that I have on my bus, and then I'll be almost finished. Freshman year, we reached a teenager. His name's Kenneth Amador. He's a good guy. He came public school teenager, came on the bus first time. He got saved. He got into the church, started coming regularly. His parents saw the difference in him. Parents saw that he lived a little different, that he was changing his lifestyles a little different. So his parents started coming. By the end of the year, next school year, his parents were coming. His two sisters were coming. He was coming to the church regularly. Him and his younger sister were going to the Christian school. This year, while he's been in the school, his middle sister is going to go to school next year, Christian school. That's three. All three of them is Christian school. Parents come regularly, tithing members of the church. Not only that, but the neighbor's kid who hung around with him saw the difference, so he started coming to church. And now he comes to church, but not just him, but his parents saw the difference in their family, so now that parent comes to church with the three kids, and now that boy, heard his friend, is going to be in Christian school next year. But not only that, but he reached another friend in his neighborhood, and now he's going to be in Christian school next year. Amen. That's about 10 people who had their lives changed by one teenage boy who decided that, you know, what I'm learning at this church, it's not just this bus worker's stuff, you know, standards, and it's not just my bus worker's beliefs, but I'm going to make them my own. And that's what happens. You start making things your own, you start being a little bit different, and people around you start paying a little more attention, and they start seeing the difference and the change. And then you start noticing, you know, they're going to start seeing lives changed by it. And as I think about that boy, and I think about the fact that, you know, he's changed, he's had, you know, a positive effect on 10 lives who are now coming to church regularly, who are, you know, like I said, five of them will be in Christian school next year. You know, as I think about that, and it's because he decided to hold fast and to grab a hold of the things around him and not just let them fly by, not just let the standards fly by, not just let the soul winning fly by. He grabbed a hold of them for himself and decided that it's not just my bus workers, it's not just my pastor, but these are mine, and I'm going to make them my own. Job said, it's my righteousness, and I hold it fast. And he goes, I'm not going to let go. So that's what I ask of you. I love this church with all my heart. I love this church more than you can realize. I love coming home. I love seeing the people here. I wish I could be here more often, man. But, you know, sometimes the responsibilities I have up there keep me there. But I love this church with all my heart. And it would break my heart someday if this church, if I ever came back and it was different. It'd break my heart someday if the members of this church had changed in their beliefs and their standards and maybe what they, and the soul winning. It'd break my heart. I love this church with all my heart, and I hope it always remains great as it is now. So I ask you today to please hold fast to these vital things of the church that make us great. Hold fast to these things and don't let go of them. As Paul said, I'd kept the faith, and as Job said, I said, it's my righteousness I hold fast, and I don't let it go. I ask you to do the same. Hold fast the righteousness of our church and don't let it go. Keep our church great. Thank you.